Forgiveness. Forgiveness. I imagine that when you hear that word, the word forgiveness, that it might create all sorts of emotions for you. I know it does for me. There's relationships I have where forgiveness has been asked for, forgiveness has been given, but somehow the relationship isn't quite the same. It hasn't progressed, it's stagnant, and it sometimes just doesn't continue. There's some of us who would love to see forgiveness in our families. There's some of us that want forgiveness from someone we love. Now, the guys who are going to youth group at the moment are learning what needs to happen for forgiveness to take place. They're working through some peacemaker things. And what they're learning is that it takes hard work, that it's not easy. I mean, the fact that we actually need coaching to learn how to forgive should tell us that actually forgiving someone is actually really hard. And it's because of this human idea of forgiveness that when it comes to hearing that Jesus forgives us, I think some of us think that Jesus will forgive most things, but actually, will he forgive everything? He is God, so he knows actually everything that you've ever done. He remembers everything that you've ever done. So why would he forgive some of the things that you've done? Maybe like me, you've got a bit of history in this world. I know I came to know Jesus when I was 21. I know I'm forgiven, but I relive my past. I'm reminded of what I was like. In fact, moving to Wurrunga has been a real treat for me. This is where I used to hang out before I was 21, and it's reminding me of all sorts of wonderful things in my life. And I sometimes wonder, am I really forgiven? Am I really forgiven? How complete is the forgiveness of Jesus? Now, maybe you've asked yourself that same question. Maybe you've even doubted the forgiveness of God. And today we're going to be looking at a very famous story in the Bible. Many of us have probably heard this passage preached on numerous times. It's a great miracle. But what I want you to see today is how complete, effective and absolute the forgiveness is from Jesus. That's what we're going to see today. Now, we're going to take a look at Luke's gospel, and it'd be great for you to have a Bible open to Luke chapter 5. And if you have your bulletins there, you'll see that there's an outline where you can make some notes as well. Now, as you look at chapter 5, we get to verse 17 and we're told that Jesus is teaching. Jesus has been doing this regularly over the last few chapters. And we heard a few weeks back that was the reason he came, to preach about the kingdom of God, which essentially means, in a nutshell, that Jesus preached about himself and the kingdom he will bring. Now, it seems like the word has gotten out and people from every village in Galilee have come to hear from Jesus. In verses 18 and 19, we understand that there's a dilemma. Jen pointed out this very nicely. A group of men carrying a paralytic, they can't get to Jesus, so they climbed up on the roof, lowered him down through the roof right in front of Jesus. And Jesus responds in verse 20, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." It's a key statement in these verses. Your sins are forgiven. This means that any transgression against God has been thrown away. It will not be remembered or counted against this man again. It is gone. He is released from the consequences of his disobedience towards God. Now, these are some of the ways that we should understand forgiveness. But what do the Pharisees hear instead? What do they understand about the forgiveness that Jesus has just given this man? Well, in verse 21, the Pharisees respond. It's in their heads. They don't say it. They're thinking it. But verse 22, we know that Jesus knew what they said in their hearts. The Pharisees said in verse 21, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Now, they think that Jesus is speaking blasphemy because only God can forgive sins. Now, sin in Jewish thought was a little different to what we believe as sin today. Being born into sin wasn't part of Jewish theology. Our doctrine of original sin. They didn't believe it. They believed that people were born good without sin. But everyone needed to be forgiven by God for transgressions of the law. The Pharisees thought they were free from sin because they adhered to the law, and so they were perfect. Now, we know that we're all born into sin. We have the doctrine of original sin, saying that by nature we are sinners, and out of that nature we sin. That's why we're called sinners. And it's really why the reason why Jesus came, to proclaim his kingdom, to bring freedom from being slaves to our sin nature. Like we saw a few weeks back, we stop being under the federal head or nature of Adam when we trust in Jesus. We stop being slaves to sin, and now we're forgiven and we stand under the headship of Christ. Through forgiveness, we are made like Jesus in every way. The New Testament often talks about us being in Christ. And this is what it means, being forgiven in Christ. But the Jews don't understand. What they see is a man standing in front of them, Jesus, doing something that only God can do. And that's their point here. Forgiving the sinner is the one thing that God can do for man that man can't do for himself. The one thing that God can do for man that man can't do for himself is receive forgiveness from sin. We can't do anything. It's for God alone to forgive. And so what the Jews say is correct, isn't it? They say it's blasphemy to say that you can forgive sins if you aren't God. But they've missed something really important, haven't they? They haven't realised that Jesus is God. And therefore Jesus can forgive sin. And therefore this isn't blasphemy. That's why the first four chapters of Luke, we saw again and again, Luke telling us who Jesus was. He's the Son of God. He's God in flesh. That's why Luke wrote to Theophilus, so that he would have certainty about the things he was taught. Certainty over who Jesus is, and now certainty around the forgiveness that he has received through Jesus. Now the Jews are looking on and hearing what Jesus is saying, but they don't understand that Jesus is the one who can forgive sin. And so they think he's speaking blasphemy, and they're trying to find ways to accuse him. Now, I said before, Jesus knew in his heart what they were saying in verse 22, and they're always questioning what Jesus does. We see that in verse 22, where Jesus says Jesus knew what they were thinking Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts?" Now, they don't answer here. But Jesus goes on and asks them another question in verse 23. It says, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk?" Now on the face of it, when you look at these two statements, you have to realise that it's certainly easier to say to someone that your sins are forgiven. You know, I mean, how is anyone going to know if your sins are forgiven by you just saying it? But if a paralysed man is placed before you and you say, "Get up and walk," well, of course, that's the harder thing to say, because to prove that you can say it, it would mean that he would be healed and walks out of the room. So Jesus asked, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, "Get up and walk?" And again, they're silent. But listen to how Jesus continues in verse 24. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Here the easier saying is proven by the harder. The proof that Jesus can forgive sin is that he just walked out the door. Jesus can do the harder, so of course he can do the easier. Now the response from this, from all those who saw it, is amazement. Verse 26 says, "Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, 'We have seen remarkable things today.' And isn't that true? A man was carried into the room, or lowered down into the room, a paralytic, yet walked out carrying his own bed, a free man. His legs are perfectly fine. Jesus proves that he's the God who can forgive sin, because he's the one who says to the man, "Get up, take your mat and walk." The healing of this man is proof that he is forgiven. Now, if you've ever visited someone who's been in hospital for a week or more, you know that after lying down that long, the legs aren't what they used to be. Maybe you've experienced this. They've deteriorated. They don't have the muscle they used to have. You know, we need rehabilitation. And for some people, they even need to learn to walk again. But this man walks in an instant. Paralyzed, going in, walks out. Walks out of the room. He wasn't able to use those muscles. Now those muscles are able to hold him up. No rehabilitation. Nothing. He just gets up and walks. And it all points to a creator, doesn't it? A creator like Jesus that can restore and heal completely. And that's the whole point. The miracle gives us certainty over who Jesus is. That's what Luke is all about, isn't it? You remember back in Luke 1:1-4, we're told that all was written down to give Theophilus certainty. And here we see for certain that Jesus can heal. But more than that, the miracle that Jesus can do is proof that he can forgive sins. The miracle that Jesus can heal is proof that he can forgive sins. Now, I look at this guy who walked home on his own two legs, and I thought, oh, if it was me, I think I'd just keep walking. It's a fresh start, isn't it? Brand new legs, ready to go. This is a new beginning for this man. And he was no doubt dependent on others for everything up until this point. But now he's got freedom. His own legs are working. His own legs can carry him forward. And that's what it's like to be forgiven by God, isn't it? It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. It's complete and utter forgiveness from everything that you've ever done, from all your sin. It draws you into a relationship with Jesus that is inseparable. It's a relationship based on the forgiveness of Jesus for you. Forgiveness brings about a new beginning, a fresh start. And the question here then has to be, well, have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven? If you're someone who has placed their trust in the Lord Jesus to cover all your sin, then as sure as you're sitting here today, you stand forgiven. You are forgiven. But I do know what's going on for many of us, because I think I experience it too. My past comes to haunt me. It reminds me that I'm a sinner. It tells me to remember all those sins that I've done. But we need the reminder, don't we? That for us, for those who trust in Jesus, he says, your sins are forgiven. Now, the idea of forgiveness in the Bible is vast. There's a few words that translate directly into the word forgiveness. But the idea of forgiveness is used in so many different ways. Sometimes it refers to an offence being taken away. Or it may be referred to as a debt that's been cancelled. A cleaning, a rinsing, a removal and a forgetting. And all these ideas are used to talk about forgiveness from sin. Now, I think it's such a rich idea in the Bible that God won't count me guilty. And when you trust in Jesus, you have been released, set free. You've been given a status of not guilty when it comes to your sin. Now, Romans 5 would be another good chapter for you to read this week. I heard it's going to rain, so maybe you can spend some time reading Romans while it's raining. Romans chapter 5. Again, it speaks about us being under the headship of Christ, no longer under Adam, but under Christ Jesus. And if you are under Christ Jesus, you stand forgiven. And that's what this passage is about. Forgiveness from God is total and complete. Just like the healing of this man that was completely freed of his disability and could walk again, so too we who are in Christ are free from our sin and stand forgiven before God. It's about Jesus being the one who can forgive. Jesus being the one who can forgive even you. The passage shows us what God is able to do. See, forgiving the sinner is the one thing that God can do for man that man can't do for himself. And God is willing to forgive. He's willing to set you free from your sin. And he's willing to give you a fresh start. Are you willing? Are you willing to be set free? Are you willing to have all your transgressions, your whoopsie daisies, forgotten, thrown away, released from, leave behind, debt being cancelled, way of forgiveness? Are you willing? Well, if you're willing, then I've got three things for you. The first thing is, go to the one who can forgive your sin. Go to him. What we learn about Jesus is that forgiveness is the most important thing that any one of us will need. Jesus forgave the paralyzed man. This was his greatest need, to be forgiven. To prove that he could forgive this man, Jesus sent him out of the room. He healed him. When we're forgiven, we're given a new heart. We stand before God as perfect through Jesus. If we aren't forgiven, then we stand before God condemned because we haven't received forgiveness. That's why being forgiven is the most important thing you'll ever need. It's absolutely necessary to be forgiven to enter eternal life. The sin connection needs to be broken, doesn't it? And in this case, it's broken by Jesus. The Pharisees got this part right, didn't they? No one can forgive sins but God alone. Jesus said the same thing in verse 24. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Who has the authority to forgive sins? Jesus. The Pharisees believed that this man was paralyzed because of his sin. Their understanding was wrong. But Jesus uses their poor theology and he basically says to them, if you believe this man's paralyzed because of his sin, well, let me heal him to show you that I can forgive his sin. By healing the man, Jesus breaks this connection he has with his sin. He shows the Pharisees that he can forgive. And this is the first thing we need to know, that Jesus can forgive your sin. He will forgive your sin. So go to him. Go to him and ask for forgiveness. The second thing is to remember that you are forgiven. Now, some people say they're forgiven, they act like they're forgiven, but sometimes deep in their heart we doubt that we're forgiven. A bit like how I started today. Our experience of forgiveness from God is tainted by forgiveness, by the forgiveness we get from each other. Now, forgiveness from someone we love can hurt and often takes time to heal, and it takes time to build trust again, doesn't it? We all understand that. But that's forgiveness from one sinner to another. The forgiveness we get from God is total and absolute and fully forgiven. And I think it's worth mentioning here because some of you may be suffering from past sins. You may think about your life and decisions you've made, errors that you've made, and maybe you're second-guessing how you've lived your life. I think 1 John 1:9 is really helpful. It says to us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and I love this next bit, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Very certain passage. Now Luke, in his passage, doesn't speak about confession. But if we confess, then Jesus forgives. And what Luke is saying is that Jesus is the one who can forgive. He's the one who breaks the sin connection. If you are forgiven, then your sins are thrown away. They're forgotten, taken away, cancelled, cleansed, rinsed, and removed. And so don't live life wondering if you're forgiven, because Jesus is the one who can forgive your sin. He can wash them away and make you clean. So if there is something you're in pain about, or if there is something you're doubting, am I forgiven for that? Well, then go to him, confess your sin, and know that he will forgive you. And lastly, know that forgiveness makes you beautiful in God's eyes. I was in the garden the other day thinking about forgiveness, and I actually thought to myself, you know, being forgiven is a bit like a finished garden. You know, a finished garden is a wonderful place to be. When you look at it, you can enjoy it. And I think that's what it's like to be forgiven through Jesus. We see the finished product, and we are in awe of what the garden is like. And when we trust in Jesus, we are made like Jesus in every way. We are the finished product. We stand forgiven. A number of years ago, we went to England for my brother-in-law's wedding. We spent a day at Chatsworth House. Maybe some of you have been there. It's like any of those big houses in England. Lovely gardens and all the rest. But as you go through Chatsworth House, everything is finished. You know, the gardens are amazing. Every hedge doesn't have a leaf out of place. The statues are all clean. The grass has got these lines like it's a football field. The house is completely decorated and there's nothing out of place. And I think this is what forgiveness does for us. It washes you clean. It makes you like Jesus himself. It makes you acceptable to God. Forgiving the sinner is the one thing that God can do for man that man can't do for himself. And it's a wonderful thing to have your sins forgiven, to know that Jesus is able to forgive your sins. So trust him. Know his forgiveness. And even though God's the one with the perfect memory and he remembers everything you've ever done, when you trust him, he says, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Let's pray. Father God, upon a life I have not lived, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. You are an amazing God. It is on the basis of your Son that we can be forgiven. We stand before you and you know our hearts, Lord. We pray that you answer our cry for forgiveness. We pray, Lord, forgive us our sins. And Lord, we know that you say yes. We know that you are the one who can forgive sins. Help us to trust you and to know your forgiveness and know who you've made us to be. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.